Welcome to the Redneck Dentist Podcast. I am Doc Mike, host of the podcast. A series of Forrest Gump-like events have brought me to where I am, a small-town country dentist. My experiences in country living, country freedom, country dentistry, and my reaction to pertinent current events may help you live a life of more freedom and less worry. Thank you for choosing the Redneck Dentist Podcast. Now let's get to today's freedom-inspiring episode.
Hey, this is Doc Mike. Thank you for joining me live here on Real Liberty Media today. I really appreciate it. This is the fastest hour on Real Liberty Media, and I don't turn left. I'm just a guy shining light on the darkness, helping to spread the truth where the mainstream media chooses to ignore it. And, hey, could y'all please post to any social media sites that you are on that we are live here on Real Liberty Media and that we have a chat room and see if we can bring some people in? That would be awesome. Hey, I'm not kidding about this. If you didn't catch Hal Anthony's show on Sunday, seriously, you need to go listen to that show. Hal Anthony, Behind the Woodshed, does a two-hour show every Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, and I am telling you, this show, especially this last show, he always packs his show full 2 hours of information, no commercials. Although we are kind of promoting donations right now to keep the site going. So if you want to make a donation, that's great. We appreciate it. You know, it keeps the server up, keeps the website up, keeps the domain name, all that stuff. But I'm not kidding, man. I was stunned. And it was Super Bowl Sunday. And I didn't want to miss Hal's show because it's always good. I'm not kidding. It's always good. He always has information you don't hear, you know, other places. But this last week's show, and I mean, I kind of feel for the guy because he said to me in kind of a private chat, well, not really private. I think he said it in the chat room. He said, man, he said, things are moving so fast now, it's hard to keep up. And you can imagine, like, he records his show, and even if it's 1 or 2 days ahead of schedule, you know, you're going to maybe miss some stuff. And I think he feels like, you know, stuff is just coming at us so fast. But man, he had some information in that show that really made me perk up and pay attention. And I was like, man, I'm going to have to, number one, go back and listen to it again. Number two, check out his notes on the blogcaster here at Real Liberty Media, because he posts everything with links to articles so you can go read it yourself, which I appreciate more than anything. But man, Hal Anthony, last Sunday, that would be, what was that, February 12th. Fantastic show. Absolutely fantastic information that we all need. Today, here on Real Liberty Media with me, Doc Mike, the Redneck Dentist and Discerning Observer Channel, we're going to kind of do a homestead update because I haven't done that. There is a little bit of current event stuff I'm going to cover because it kind of mixes in with what I'm going to be talking about. But, yeah, so here we go, fastest hour in Real Liberty Media. I'm having a hard time talking today. Don't know why. I want to start out by saying I have the greatest wife in the world. Now, I kind of knew that, and I don't know what kind of brain damage she suffered as a child or whatever, that she actually married me and has stuck with me all this time. But I'm telling you, so because I've had this additional time off, you know, I went down to 3 days a week. So I have 2 weekdays where I can actually take care of business. Now, you know, for years, my wife has taken care of all of the business, whatever business there is to take care of. Pretty much she did it because she's been retired for a few years and she has time to be at home and do that. Well, let me tell you just a little tiny story here. So because, and I kind of talked about this before, I'm just going to give you a brief summary again. I'm retired from the service, so I have veterans benefits. But I had no idea that when I turned 65, that they were literally going to drop me from my retired benefits, because you have to sign up for Medicare and then you get reassigned to your veterans benefits. So somebody along the way, I know she is. So somewhere along the way last year, they said, you know, when you turn 65, you're going to have to, you know, call Medicare and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, okay. But it didn't sound urgent. Like nobody said to me, hey, the day you turn 65, you will no longer have any benefits. That means no insurance, no pharmacy, no nothing. So if anything would have happened from the day I turned 65 until, well, a week and a half ago, I'd have been so screwed. There was no, I had no coverage, none, zero. Now, okay, that's all handled, but let me tell you how this went. So she, my wife has told me before, you know, whenever I get on the phone with TRICARE, or whenever I get on the phone with a bank, or whenever I get on the phone with the government, she goes, I just sit there for like 2 hours. And, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, well, she's probably exaggerating a little bit. Well, let me tell you, what is today? Today's Wednesday. So yesterday I had a snow day, not because we had a ton of snow, but because we had a little bit of snow. But what happened was, like, it snowed a tiny bit, and then we got some freezing rain, and then it snowed a little bit. And then we got some freezing rain, and then it snowed a little bit, and we got some hail, and then we got some, ice pellets, and then freezing rain, and then we got 2 inches of snow. So it was just like an icy sheet outside the house, basically. And so, and I had to get on the phone with, because I wanted to follow up on Social Security and find out, you know, what else I had to do to get back to my regular benefits, because I didn't want to stay on Medicare. You know, I wanted to get back on the benefits I had, the benefits I'm entitled to that I earned, you know, for doing 29 years in the service. Well, yeah, I was on the phone for 2 hours, and I mean literally on the phone. Like, I plugged into a charger to make sure I didn't run out of juice, and I had earbuds that were fully charged, so they're good for, I don't know, 12 hours or something like that. And I got to tell you, this was the craziest thing. So I went through the phone tree no fewer than 4 times before I realized that the choices that I thought I should be asking for, like, are you interested in Medicare benefits? Yes, I am. Oh, no, I wasn't. That's not what I was interested in at all. Are you interested in TRICARE for life? Yeah, that's it. That's the thing I'm looking for. Nope, that wasn't it. Would you like to hear about your benefits? Yeah, I would. Well, no, I didn't, because it was just general benefits. Like, you know, you had to call some other number. Well, I'm not hanging up. So 4 times I went through this phone tree thinking that the very thing I'm looking for should be the thing that's in the phone tree, right? Oh, no. So finally, on the 5th time through, I just go, yeah, hook me up with an agent. And sure enough, that's what I needed to do, was get hooked up with an agent. But, you know, it's kind of funny that they have all these choices that you're like, oh, I'm calling about Medicare. Yeah, that's what I need. Nope, that's not what you need. Oh, I'm calling about TRICARE for life. That's what I need. Nope, that's not what you need. Because, you know, those are all just general, I guess, information things. Like, you know, it's just a menu. And when it would get done, it would say, like, would you like to hang up? No, I don't want to hang up. I want... I want more information, damn it. And I want to make sure that everything is lined up. So if something happens to me, we're covered. If I need medications, we're covered, all that stuff. And let me tell you, this is one of those times, man, like you're so pissed off, like you're so frustrated by the time you get a human being that you just want to completely go off on whoever it is. And I got like the nicest guy in the world come on the line, and he was never flustered for a second. You know, I explained to him what I did with the phone tree and explained to him what I was trying to accomplish. And man, he was just the calmest, nicest, like he had to have been like a saint, man, because I was so mad that I was not going to be saintly at all. Like, you know how it gets when you're so damn frustrated with something that, oh, by the way, let me kind of preface this with saying, I also found out that I'd been scammed out of $60 a month for, I don't know, the past 3 or 4 months. And, you know, trying to chase that thing down, I was on the phone for a little bit. So already I was kind of irritated because it's like, man, I am really careful when I'm online. And I did one thing. I took a free something from, I'll mention the name, Tactical USA. So if you get messages from Tactical USA that says, you know, claim your free whatever, holster, whatever, I mean, I wouldn't do it. And I'll explain to you what happened and what I think happened. So you go on there and you claim the free holster and it says, you know, give us your credit card number for shipping and handling. I did that and I read the rest of the page to make sure there was no other charges, and when I checked out, I made sure there was no other charges, just $6.95 shipping and handling. I do that, and then what would happen is every month I would see in my email, which also I didn't sign up for an account with this company either. Now, maybe I put an email address in when I checked out, you know, when I checked out, but I didn't sign up for an account. So I would get an email every month. Hey, Tactical USA is going to charge your account $59.95. Like, no, they're not, because I didn't give them permission to. Number one, I didn't order anything. Number two, I didn't pay for a subscription, sign up, nothing like that. Well, so Rochelle and I are kind of going over the bills and charges, you know, and she says, oh yeah, and you got this Tactical USA charge. And I go, what? And she goes, yeah, this Tactical USA, it's a charge on the card. I was like, well, I'm not getting anything for $59.95 a month. So what is that for? So, of course, I was going to call them, but what are you going to do? So you're going to call a company and go, hey, are you guys legit? Like, hey, how come you're charging my card? And then I could imagine they're going to ask you for the card number, right? I mean, how are you going to, you know, go through this thing? So I ended up calling the card company. I only have one credit card that I use online for this very reason. So if anything happens, it gets taken care of pretty damn quickly. And so I called this card company and, oh, see, somebody else got ripped off too. See, I'm telling you, they're... I mean, I don't know if they're legit or not, but it's pretty scummy the way that they work. Not transparent, not upfront. So, you know, I don't know what the story is. And maybe I'll find out eventually. I don't know. Hey, but my card company just took care of it. I called them. First of all, I you know, went online. I looked, found the charge. I looked at the, you know, charge information on there. And there was a place that says, you know, do you want to dispute this or whatever? There's several choices. And I go, yeah, dispute it. And it says, well, call us so we can prevent fraud. And I called them right up. And, man, they took care of it, like, instantly. Okay, yeah, they're turned off. They said you have to call the company and, you know, make sure that they're not going to start charging it again. They turn it off for something like 15 months. So anyway, beware. And I know I don't need to tell people this, but you got to be careful, man. Like, you know, I should have reacted sooner. Like the first time I saw that they said they were going to charge my card, I probably should have gone and looked, but I didn't. I'll pay closer attention now for several reasons, but yeah, it sucked. So, okay, so I'm already kind of heated about that. And then I get on the phone with Social Security. No, not Social Security. What was it? No, it was the number for TRICARE for Life, okay? So it was a phone number I was given by TRICARE. It says you have to call this number to get your Medicare switched over to TRICARE for Life. I'm like, okay, I got this. So anyway, then I got hooked up with George, who I like to mention by name. He was extremely nice. Anyway, so I got hooked up with him. I'm already all fired up. He's just a saint on the phone. Walked me through everything step by step. He asked me, hey, he said, let's update this information, you know, make sure everything is current. So we went through that, made sure all of my contact information, my spouse information, everything is up to date and current. And, you know, and then I was done. I got everything done, but it took, I'm not kidding, 2 full hours plus. Like, I know I started at like 9 o'clock and it was well after 11 when I finished, like 11:25, something like that. So back to my wife. So she's been doing that since she retired, which I can't really remember what year she retired. I think it was 05 or 06, something like that, or 07, I don't know. But, you know, honestly, God bless that woman for sitting on the phone all of these times that she's had to deal with one thing or another, like especially medical stuff. You know, if you have a heart attack or you end up in the ER because you cut your arm on a chair or, you know, had a lapse of mental acuity and you end up in the ER or whatever, you know, and she deals with this TRICARE and the hospital and the doctors and the billing. Oh, my gosh, man. I'm not kidding. I'm just thinking, counting my blessings again. No kidding. That deserves cheesecake for sure. It really does. But anyway, you know, thank God for putting her in my life and just thank God that I have her. No kidding. All right. Let's get to homestead updates because I have kind of a lot of stuff that I want to share. And, you know, it's February. So I know like a lot of the country, a lot of different parts of the country and the world for that matter, you know, are not really thinking about getting their garden going. But on the homestead, we had some things happen recently that I think are going to be important in the long run. Just to kind of keep everybody who listens or follows the show or watches the streams, just so they, you know, kind of are, I don't suddenly say 8 months from now, holy cow, we have all these blueberries. I'll get back to that in a minute. I wanted to tell you guys, I started doing, I actually became an active participant in homeschooling lately. So I have actually been helping Hayden, the 12 going on 13 year old, with his math. And I got to tell you, man, it's both kind of a blessing and a curse to do something like this, because sometimes, like today, I'm not kidding, today was an awesome day. It was like all of a sudden the light went on and something connected with him today. Like, I'm not kidding. It was like we started off really on kind of a rough start. Like, you know, I don't know what's wrong with you, like why you can't read these instructions and actually understand them. Like I even asked him at one point, so are you telling me that you don't know what those words mean? Or are you really telling me you don't understand what that sentence means? So we kind of got off on a rough start. And then I kind of eased up. I'm like, let's do the lesson and see what happens. And he was making the same mistake. So one of the things we've been working on for the past, I don't know how many weeks, is like fractions and how you cross cancel. Let's just keep it simple. You know, cross canceling fractions. And he was having such a hard time with it. So I actually created an exercise, made him do the whole thing. We changed some terminology so that he would understand what he was doing, and bam, I'm not kidding. He understood it. It was like, I got this. And he banged through those formulas. And I kept asking him about a couple rules. Like every time he started to do an equation, I said, okay, what's the first thing that you're going to do with this type of equation? And he nailed it. And every equation, I banged him on it until he literally, he was just cruising through it. So that was awesome, right? Let me see. Oh, yeah. I just want to read some notes here. I said, man, I forgot how much time it takes. Luckily, I haven't forgotten much over the years, and I've always had that scientific mind. So much so that I often am jealous of those who have a bit more artistic side to them. I really have none outside of making a filling look like a tooth. And that is one aspect of dentistry I really pride myself in. I mean, teeth have hills and grooves for a reason, right? Otherwise, they would be flat. Anyway, the homeschooling can be frustrating and extremely satisfying. I really do have an appreciation for educators. Well, not the woke groomers, but real educators. All right. Yeah, people are talking about the berries in the Northwest. And I'm not kidding. And we're going to get to that here in just a second. Oh, no, that's where we are now. So I'm going to tell you, this is kind of crazy. So way back when I started trying to like blueberries, it wasn't a berry that I really took to right off the bat, but I've learned to enjoy them. But I think one of the problems was way back when, if you just buy regular blueberries, and I know it's hard to think, well, what's the difference? Well, there's a huge difference. I'm going to tell you how I learned it. So at Costco one time, I bought blueberries, right? And I wasn't impressed. They were okay. And somebody said, oh, well, why didn't you get the, you know, Pacific Northwest blueberries? I'm like, oh, I didn't know there was a difference. Like, oh, yeah, there's a difference. So the next time I went to Costco and needed blueberries, which was probably a year or two since I really didn't like the ones I bought, so it wasn't the first thing I would grab, I was like, oh yeah, I got to get these Northwest blueberries. And I bought those, and I am not kidding. It was night and day difference. I'll tell you two things about Pacific Northwest blueberries. Number one, they are big, plump, healthy berries. Number two is the skin is thinner. So like the blueberries I had bought that are just like, I don't know, run-of-the-mill blueberries, they were kind of tough. Like, and of course, they're all frozen, but they were kind of tough. And I didn't like the thickness of that skin on that blueberry. But then I got the Northwest blueberry. Man, it was crazy how delicious the blueberries were and, you know, how kind of satisfying it was to eat them because I didn't have this big, thick skin on my blueberries. Yeah, so anyway, I'm going to tell you guys, this is the craziest deal. And it's one of those things that, you know, you're lucky, we are lucky that when we find a deal, a lot of times we can just jump on it. And yeah, it's going to disturb the schedule a bit, like the schedule of the homestead, whatever else is going on, whatever other projects we're working on. Sometimes, you know, to get the deal, you just have to drop everything and get the deal and get it done. So here's what happened. Moving my notes down here. So Crystal recently ran into a deal. She saw it on the internet, the local trade board or community calendar, whatever. And it was a commercial blueberry farm that was digging up their blueberry bushes and replacing them with what commercial buyers want or find more desirable these days. The new bushes they are planting are said to be hybrids, but, you know, I think that may have a different meaning to all of us. In my opinion, they are likely GMO'd. That's just a guess. I don't know. Some of these farmers, you know, they'll stick to being organic, but I just kind of have a feeling, you know, with the way the markets are now, you have to be competitive, supposedly, but especially for commercially grown food. Hang on, drink time. Oh, that's so good. That's my medicine ball. Killing that spike protein, if there's any left. Anyway, so these, the new berries they're putting in are, he called them hybrids. I'm going to go out on a limb and say they're probably GMO. They could be natural hybrids. I mean, that's what real, you know, plant developers do, is they cross plants with the traits they're looking for to get the trait that they desire. Now, I don't know what the commercial growers are looking for now. Oh, you know, I think sometimes you get a hybrid that doesn't produce a seed, but definitely GMOs end up a lot of times not producing a seed. What was I saying? So I don't know what the new, I don't know what berry the new commercial buyers are after, but I am really glad that this guy was digging up his blueberries and selling them for, listen to this, $5 a bush. Now, I don't mean $5 a stick, like a little tiny, you know, bare root stick that you're going to put in the ground. I mean $5 for a 6 to 8 foot tall, fully mature blueberry bush. And so Crystal and Sheck went out first, and I think they bought 4 or 5 or 8. I don't know. They bought a bunch. So somebody else says hybrids aren't true to reproduce. Okay. Aren't true to reproduce. Okay. But anyway, but the only reason they only bought that many the first day is because they didn't have a rig big enough to take these fully mature blueberry bushes. So we talked about it a little bit and we're like, hey, well, let's go back and get some of the big ones. Because here's the deal. So the younger plants, they're like a couple years old, let's say 2 to 4 years old. I don't know. I'm just throwing a number out there. So when they transplant them, a lot of times when you transplant them, if you let them go to fruit, they don't do so well for years because you let them go to fruit instead of pulling every flower off of there and letting all of the energy going into plant development and root system development. So the first batch that they bought, we were like, okay, well, we're gonna have to pick all the flowers off of these and let them root in, you know, let the root develop, the root system develop. So this first year, we're not going to get any fruit from them. Now, the bigger ones, they say you don't have to do that, but if you do it, I mean, you're kind of guaranteeing future success, right? And that's kind of what we're looking at, is long-term success here. You know, Rochelle and I bought this place or ended up here together. Let's say we've been working on it since 2000. I'd somewhere in that range. And, you know, we just started thinking way back then, hey, let's get some food growing on this place. And so we started putting, you know, a fruit tree, maybe 2 fruit trees a year in, maybe a bush here or there, raspberries and blueberries, which didn't do so well because we didn't know what the hell we were doing. And this is kind of one of the things I'm going to get to here in a minute. But you can't, it's extremely difficult to think you're going to start something and it's going to be successful like in 4 years. There's going to be some trial and error, unfortunately. So I hope I encourage people to do something, and the sooner the better. I really have a feeling, I think from my exposure to the public, because I'm a dentist and I get to talk to people every day, that's a joy. I'm kidding. It's awesome. It really is awesome. But you kind of get a real feeling that there's a lot of people in this world that just are not going to be able to survive a hard time. Like, there's people living today that you come across every day who are not going to know how to survive if the food supply chain gets cut off. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that today, because look at how much stuff has happened recently. And I know there's, you know, all kinds of talk going on, all kinds of gossip going on. You hear the administration in this country talking about how the egg producers are screwing, you know, the consumer because they're just, you know, randomly raising the price of eggs. Well, that may be true. That may be true. We don't know that. I mean, we would literally have to go and do some kind of study of each and every egg producer and go, okay, how much money did you take in? How much was your feed? How much were your whatever other supplies that you need? How much were fuel costs? How much did they increase over the last year? And then are you charging, you know, way more than what the increase in your costs are? Or are you charging enough to keep your business going and feed your family? And I think that's what a lot of people forget when they start, you know, saying that people are, are overcharging the consumer. It could be going on because people suck. People in all walks of life suck. You will find somebody who will double the price of something if they know there's a shortage, even though they don't need to double the price to still make money. Hey, do what you can, man. I'm one of those people who says get what you can get, especially for yourself. Get the most amount of money in the most, the happiest place you can work. You know, have some satisfaction in your life by working somewhere you enjoy to work, if that's the case. Make sure that you're compensated for what you're doing. I mean, that's what we all strive for, I think. Not all of us, obviously. But here's the deal. If you just sit back as a politician and say, yeah, the egg producers are screwing the consumers, they're overcharging them. Well, you got to prove that to me, man, because I'm not an egg producer, but I have egg producers. And let me tell you, I know that the price of producing those eggs has gone up. I can't tell you today exactly how much, but I can tell you it's gone up. Now, so let's say the people down the street who sell their eggs for, well, now we saw they were $4.50 a dozen. Local farm fresh eggs, $4.50 a dozen. Do I think that's unfair? Nope, I don't. I bet you they're probably maybe doing a little better than breaking even. You know, we don't charge for our eggs. We, at this point, still give away, I don't know, 2 or 3 dozen eggs every other day, every 3 days, something like that. I have, you know, the people in my office, they love farm fresh eggs, so they'll take a dozen home. You know, one of the girls, 2 of the girls, 3 of the girls, they'll grab some. There's a neighbor across the street from the dental clinic who I've taken a liking to. And they have 3 kids, a mom and dad. And, you know, when the girls leave some eggs behind, I'll text them and go, hey, I got a dozen or 2 eggs here. I'll put it out on the picnic table and, you know, you can have at it, or I'll meet you in the parking lot. I'll hand them off. And they get eggs, man. And I know it's not a ton, but it's helping them, you know. Like, that's one expenditure that they don't have to put out. And, you know, for us, it's excess eggs, which is our goal eventually, to convert some of those excess eggs to meat, which we have some in the incubator right now. So we'll know in the next month if we can start producing some meat birds here. And actually, we're going to change out everything probably this month. Well, not everything. We're going to change out the rooster. We'll probably let this rooster live for another couple months, but we're going to get a new rooster, a New Jersey Giant, and he's going to be the one that we breed with the rest of the flock to produce meat birds, because they actually produce really big chickens. And if you're looking to produce meat, that's what you want, is you want a lot of protein on your bird. So anyway, that's going to happen soon. So the blueberry, getting back to the blueberry bushes, is so we have 8 brand new to us, fully mature blueberry bushes, and they are planted already. And then we have, I don't know, 4 to 6 or 8 more smaller ones, and 2 of those I've already given away. When we realized we were going to get the 8 other mature ones, somebody from my office wanted 2 blueberry bushes. I said, hey, we'll give them to you. You just got to get your soil prepared. And, you know, so they're doing that. They have their holes prepared, and we'll hand those bushes off to them in the next couple of days. Oh. And plus, so we've had blueberry bushes here that are also very young. They're probably in their 4th year, I'm thinking, of production. And we didn't do a great job with them, but everything's going to be better now. So we have this kind of huge blueberry patch, and we're really excited to see what's going to happen with that. I know I'm going to be deep in cheesecake debt for a while. We won't get a ton of berries from the new bushes this year. More than likely, we're going to pinch every single flower off. But it's a long-term plan. And I, you know, like I said, Rochelle and I have been slowly adding food in many different forms to this property over the years. And things are always maturing. You know, trees we planted 4 years ago are going to produce fruit, or they have produced fruit. Remember the apple tree? That apple tree, so 2 years ago, it was 3 or 4 years old. And I'm not kidding, I was stunned at how many buckets, 5-gallon buckets of apples we took off of that little tiny tree. And I actually have pictures of that little tiny tree and how many freaking apples were on that thing. So, you know, that's another good start. Anyway, so you always have to be ready. Like I said, we're lucky, maybe I should say fortunate, that we have the necessary equipment and workforce, not only just the workforce, but actually people who want to work and want to produce food, and they consider it a priority. There's some information. I haven't gathered all this information yet, but somebody who I really love and admire has told me that they've been putting stuff in chicken feed that's actually making them not produce as much, or, you know, stop laying eggs, or, you know, somehow interfering. So I'm going to look into that. We're going to come back with a complete report on that. But, you know, check this out. So the toxic spill that happened in, where was that? I forget. Was it in Michigan, Ohio? I forget where the train derailed and burned up, and it released all these toxic gases. And now it supposedly has contaminated the entire Ohio River Valley, which means all the tributaries from there all the way down to the Gulf. But now people are starting to wake up to find their chickens dead from whatever is in the air, whatever toxins are in the air. Chickens are dying like crazy. Now that's something that you just aren't going to, there's no way to prepare. Okay, there is. But how would you prepare for something like that? Like, how is it that you're going to create a structure that, you know, if you get, you know, sarin gas laid on you or whatever, your chickens are going to survive? Like, more than likely, no, that's not going to happen. More than likely, you're going to lose, you know, all your livestock, maybe. Maybe all your livestock. I don't know if chickens are more susceptible to the toxins that were released from that train or not. But also fish and wildlife along the tributaries. They're starting to find dead animals along these tributaries. I'm telling you, this is going to be, like, it's crazy how many things have happened in the last few years. Oh, Palestine, Ohio. Okay, thank you so much. Ohio along the Pennsylvania state line. Very good. Palestine. Okay, very good. Thank you. You guys are awesome. So if you think about it, yeah, you're going to be screwed no matter what. Because let's say trying to be self-sufficient, trying to raise enough food for yourself and your family and maybe a few others, man, you're going to have some losses like this. There's no way. In fact, I thought about this as soon as I started putting this picture together. And that truck that turned over in Arizona and released nitric oxide, you know, that can't be good either. I don't know how many things are going to die because of that. But I thought, well, what happens if that happened right down here on Highway 18? You know, or Highway 22 is pretty close by. I mean, we would have a problem. Like, it could cause a problem right here on our homestead. My point is, if you have multiple sources of food, it's going to suck to lose one or two, but maybe you have enough to cover it. You know, maybe you have something else going that you're going to, you know, you're just going to have to eat more of that. Just imagine this. So all those toxins that were released from that train derailment, they've gone up in the air and they've come down on the ground. Are the foods that you plant in that soil, are they going to be some source of concentrating those toxins? Are they even going to grow with those toxins, whatever amount, concentration of toxins are in your soil? I mean, you're going to have to till it. There's no way for you to, suck those toxins off the topsoil, off the top of the topsoil. Yeah, so what are you going to do? I have no idea. I have no idea. I'm just glad I'm not in that position right now. I'm glad I'm not facing that right now. And yeah, you know, when you look at, like, the food production we could have here, like my whole north pasture, well, I'm pointing behind me, whichever way, it's up there. It's totally up there. You can't see it right now. But we grow nothing up there. Well, we grow pasture grass, clover, maybe some winter rye, stuff like that. But nothing that we harvest to use ourselves. Now, that very well could change this year. But that's wasted land, in my opinion. It's like, hey, we need to convert that to something. We should grow something up there. I mean, hemp would be awesome, except it's so stupid to try and grow hemp. It's the perfect plant for many things, like making your own fuel, oil. Great for making your own. There's so many uses for hemp, but it's so stupid to try and buy hemp seeds right now. It's beyond stupid. So hopefully, you know, once the market settles down, maybe we can all get back to growing hemp, making our own rope, making our own fuel, oil, hemp oil. Hemp oil is actually good for your body also. There's a lot of benefits to it. Anyway, let me get back to my notes. Getting sidetracked. But what I was saying is, so we have the orchard out here. We have the garden down here, blueberry patch there, strawberry patch, We have a couple nut trees on the property. And so there's a lot of stuff that we can draw on. And of course, well, in what, 2 months, 3 months, we're going to start putting things in the ground for this year's garden. By the way, I want to talk about the next little update on the homestead that just happened in the last 2 weeks. You can get all the hemp seed you want in the ditches in Nebraska. Okay, I'll be making a road trip on my way. 420 thinking about it. That's funny. Hang on one sec. All right, sorry about that. All right. Wow, where is my original point? I know where it is. I'm just kidding. Yeah, no kidding. You have to smoke a whole acre of hemp to get high. No, I think it's even more than that. Let me kind of read this note. Oh, yeah. No, a few weeks ago, I was talking about all the accidents that have taken out food storage facilities or food processing plants and chicken farms, etc. And I was kind of talking about it just now, too, just like, you know, the pressures we have on producing eggs or food or whatever. And, yeah, let me just read this paragraph. I think I covered most of this. There has been some talk of egg producers artificially raising prices. I am not so sure that is just another of the many lies the government would like you to believe. On our little homestead, for example, the cost of feed has increased. Why? Well, the cost of growing food increased due to the increase in fuel prices, mainly. Yeah, there are a lot of other pressures on the cost of feed, but many of those can be tied back to the cost of fuel or fertilizer. So if I were going to recoup my cost of producing eggs, I would have to raise the cost of the eggs to cover the increased cost of feed. Now, if I raise the cost so high I could retire on the sale of eggs, that would be awesome, but it would not be fair. Like, in my opinion, that would not be fair. I like the fact that we hand out eggs, that we don't ask for anything in return except for the cartons that we send them out in. We like to get those cartons back because the cartons are even hard to come by. And it's an expense that you don't need. I mean, you know, if you keep reusing, I mean, that's a perfect example of recycle. Just give me that egg carton back. I'll refill it for you and off you go. Anyway, back to my original point, the multitude of attacks on our food supply. I was talking about the multitude of connected devices that many of these food processing plants use to automate production, track shipping, balance supply and demand, order feed, and other necessary supplies. Any, and I would suggest all of these devices could be exploited. And by that, I mean they could be used as incendiary device or could cause other equipment to overheat or explode. Sure, I'm getting a little science fiction-y here, but we are entering the third year of the governments of the world trying, with the help, cooperation, and censoring tools of private corporations to kill their civilian populations. This past week, we have had two separate toxic spills. One contaminated the entire Ohio River Valley system, or it will eventually. The other was a gas or nitric oxide leak from a truck that crashed. We are only just beginning to learn the effects that will have on the environment and people or other animals in the area and beyond. Now, do you believe that these accidents are just coincidence? Do you believe it's accidental, any of it? Because I no longer believe. Not that I ever did in the past 2 years. I mean, after about the sixth one, I was like, come on, man. Come on, man. Something is going on here. Like, for years before, maybe once every few years, maybe 5 or 10 years, you would have a food processing or a food storage plant burn to the ground or have an airplane crash into it or, you know, whatever, be destroyed. And all of a sudden you have 50 or 60 in 2 years. That's not an accident. 100% that this is not accidental. And I'm really beginning to wonder about the objects that we're seeing, you know, crossing the United States and other countries for that matter. Let me ask you something. Do you think it is beyond technology's ability right now for a balloon to be manned with some kind of device that could literally kill a single truck driver carrying nitric oxide or some other toxic substance? I can tell you this, I was watching a true crime thing today, like a half hour show about some criminal. They literally were tracking him live with GPS because his GPS in the rental that he rented was sending back, you know, GPS signal. Now, 10 years ago, 15, 20 years ago, we would have said, oh, well, you know, GPS only gets you within 20 meters. Maybe 10 years ago, oh, GPS only gets you within 6 meters. Maybe 5 years ago, oh, the GPS is only good within 3 meters. How big of a person do you need to be hit with a laser beam? Just saying. Could it happen? I literally think I could do this. I literally think I could put a weather balloon up with technology on it that could direct a beam exactly where I want it on the ground. So tomorrow the FBI agents will probably be showing up here and asking me, like, where all my stuff is, and, you know, it's not going to happen. But I'm just saying, you know, you're talking about countries who have billions of dollars for their military budgets. You don't think that they could take out a single vehicle? And just think, if they really want to be strategic about it, you know, they could take out or explode a fuel vehicle in the middle of New York City. Or as it's entering the Lincoln Tunnel. This is not beyond capability of today's electronics, today's technology. It's just not. And to think that somehow we've sat back for I don't know how long now and allowed foreign countries to just surveil our land, to just put a weather balloon. I don't care what kind of object it is. I don't care if it's a weather balloon. I don't care if it's a torpedo ship. I don't care if it's a laser gun. I don't care if it's going to drop the finest smelling rose in different cities across it. I don't care what it is. It has no business being over the United States. You know, and yeah, I've heard the stories that, oh, these things have been up there for years. Maybe, I don't know. I can tell you when I was in the service, I never heard about it. And I had some access to some of the monitoring equipment. I had to actually work on a project that had some crypto. And that was way in the hell back, man. That was back in 83 or 4, we were working on some, I was an electrician in the Coast Guard, I was in the reserves, I was still trying to, you know, pay for school and support my family and all that stuff, and so in the summer times, I would take extra jobs in the service, and I would do more than 2 weeks in the summer, and this one year, they had asked me and this one other guy, he was an electronics technician, to go assemble this thing in Seattle, that was part of a radar installation that had a bunch of, you know, enciphered stuff to it. And I don't know, you know, I only had to make sure that the power supplied to the right place. The electronics guy made sure that the power coming off was the right voltage and all that stuff. Not only that, but they made us work in shifts this kind of shift. We were there 3 weeks. We worked 12 hours a day, 5 days a week. And we never saw the other team. So when we were done, another team came in. They took over where we left off. We never saw each other. We never exchanged even a glance. So we would leave on the Friday, and the new team would come in on a Monday. It was awesome, whatever it was. I hope it worked. But, I mean, hell, that was 40 years ago. 40 years ago, we're working on some kind of encrypted radar stuff. But, yeah, I think that kind of stuff could easily happen. Oh. I said, there is no way we can continue to believe any of this is done by mere chance. There's just too much. Also, do you think that Biden has sold out America to the Chinese? I mean, why have we been letting the objects from China sail over the USA? I'm not even going to get into the argument that it has been happening for years. It doesn't matter to me why it has been happening at all. Someone suggested maybe this is a way for Biden to get some gravitas, like he will get some kind of kudos for shooting down a balloon. Nope, I'm not impressed with that. In fact, I'm fairly certain a bunch of us rednecks could figure out a way to take it down ourselves. And who is to say the Chinese are not complicit in this? Like, maybe Biden is paying them to play along. I mean, wouldn't it be in China's interest to promote Biden, to keep him in office so they continue to benefit? I mean, they have the manufacturing ability to keep putting these things up there for Biden to order them shot down. It wouldn't cost much to either Biden or China. No kidding. I'm sure China can crank these things out in a day. They have the manufacturing ability all set up and in place to do it. A little side note here. While I'm on the subject, couldn't those flying objects be used? I already said that. Anyway, so kind of back at it, man. Do you have an alternative food and water choice or source? I'm really feeling for the people who are not prepared or have no plan, either mentally or actually. People are starting to see the dead animals in the area of the train derailment and toxic spill. How long before humans start dying? Or have they already and we just aren't finding them yet? How long before cancers start showing up? Or some systems start failing? I mean, our systems biologically. Oh my gosh, I wanted to get to this. The last thing, man, the update on the homestead. So Sheck built a hydroponic tower. This thing, when it's complete, is going to have 78 pods that we will put a single lettuce plant in each pod, maybe some kale or collard greens, but stuff that's going to be good for us that we can harvest every day that will continue to grow and produce. This tower is awesome. This weekend, I'll have a video up showing you how beautiful the construction of this tower is and maybe discuss a little bit how it works. But can you imagine this? This is probably in a 9-square-foot footprint, and it's going to have 78 plants on a timer with nutrients in there, water in there. It'll get watered like a certain amount of time each day. It'll be in the sun. It'll be fantastic. And I'm sure you can find these online. Sheck just one day got this, and I know, here goes another cheesecake. Sheck one day got this idea. He and Crystal kind of talked about it. Next thing you know, he goes out and buys all the stuff and puts it together that night. And he liked it so much, he made one for his mom and his family too. So, it'll be interesting to see how that does. I've seen people have great success with them. I'm really looking forward to it. Hey, we're getting down to it. You guys can catch me every Wednesday and Saturday at 9 p.m. Eastern. Seriously, take 2 hours out and catch Hal Anthony's show. Hey, thanks, you guys. I'll see you.
Thank you for listening to the Redneck Dentist Podcast. Please show your support for the podcast. This podcast is not on the biggest platforms, but it is on the best free speech platforms. Until next time, remember, all bleeding eventually stops.